Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that looked pretty good.
That looked good.
We just saw Hendon Hooker complete about a 40-yard pass to Jackson Meeks, who dropped the pass on Friday night in Atlanta and then had a big game after that. So what appears to be a bit of a red zone drill here. They're outside the red zone. Let me correct that. They started outside the red zone, but they were on the plus side of the field. Hendon Hooker completed a pass that I think actually went to the end zone, but they've marked it inside the 15-yard line to run another rep.
So. I think you're correct.
Okay, so Hendon Hooker, good throw there. I know his performance got a lot of scrutiny, and we'll get into it momentarily. Scott Anderson, I just want to say something here. Do you remember when this place opened up, the Allen Park headquarters of the Lions? One of the things that was criticized about it was there wasn't enough room that fans could attend preseason practices. That was one of the storylines, because before this, they were at Saginaw Valley, right?
Yes. Yeah, they did that for a couple of years.
And they'd play in SVSU. They'd practice in SVSU Stadium, and fans could come watch.
Yes, it was really cool.
Did shows from the press box there at SVSU. And then this opened up, and I think about where we stood, there was a par three golf hole.
I think that's changed around. I want to say it was way over in the corner over there.
I thought it was where we stood. What they've done, though, in the interim is they have actually made it. This is a really fan-friendly event. And the fans that can get in here, they now just have grandstands that fans can sit in. There's obviously VIP areas and places where they can stand and watch. But it is far more fan-friendly than when it first opened up.
It is, and it's great to see, and fans come out in droves. The ones that are invited, I don't think this is just totally open to.
Well, you can get tickets, but they go quickly.
Yeah, so it's really nice what they do, and the players take their time and sign a lot of autographs afterwards, and it's very interactive, and the cheerleaders are out here, and Rory's out here, and it's a good time, and later in the week, the Dolphins will be here on Wednesday and Thursday while we're out here. And, you're going to have two fields completely filled with players. And eventually they start to scrimmage and stuff. And that's when it gets really fun. Watching them in shells here, the ones versus ones occasionally, it's kind of cool to see. I mean, I haven't been able to catch a ton while we're doing the show here. Our view is a little obstructed, but it looks like Hutchinson looks great.
Yeah.
On defense, Jared Goff is throwing the ball on time. These are the things that you notice a little bit out there, but that's not what people want to talk about, apparently.
Well, look, let's start with this. The biggest story of the game was Maurice Norris.
Yes.
That was a scary moment. The great news is he was back here at the facility yesterday, and I don't know what his long-term prognosis is, but the worst case scenario is avoided as far as paralysis or anything
right.
Even more serious than that. And that was a scary, scary moment. And I don't know what we can say about it that hasn't already been said. Of course, it puts things into perspective. Hopefully everybody has perspective before something like that. In sports, people say, thank God this, thank God that. This was a true thank God moment. Thank God he was okay. It was, that fencing look when a player gets hit in the head and they go stiff on the field is always uncomfortable to see. And every player is one player away, man. There's one play away, I should say. Every player is one play away from some sort of severe injury.
Yeah, and this was just a normal play, right? Running back coming through the hole and getting to that next level, and the safety comes up to make the play, and it was the perfect storm of, putting his body across to make the tackle at the same time that Nathan Carter's leg was coming up, and it was just like a thigh right to the face. It was you know, kind of, I mean, it was brutal. Obviously, the end result's brutal when they have to bring an ambulance out onto the field. It's brutal, and it's one of these things that I feel like we've seen this 100 times or more where nobody's hurt. It's just a play, but this was the circumstances, just bang, and you see the slow motion
what
replay.
What do you mean you see, saw what?
Well, I mean, it's just, when I say that it looks like it's just a normal play until you get a closer look at it, and you're like, that's a lot of force. And now you can understand. When you see the head snap back and that, it's then you're like, uh-oh. And you realize that no matter how protected these guys are out there with helmets and pads and all that, you're still vulnerable. And it's a very violent, violent game.
All right, so as far as what happened on the field, I'll just say this about Hendon Hooker. No decisions have to be made in the next 5 minutes. What we see, the window that we see, is a small window into the overall judging process. All the different data points that are used to determine what they're going to do with Hendon Hooker. We see a little bit, a very little bit. Does he look like he's trending to be a quality backup in this moment in time? From what we can see, not necessarily. But, you know, they may see more runway here with him. I suspect that they do see more runway here with him. Should we be disappointed? And I'm going to say no, and here's why. And I guess I'm doing big picture thinking here. Coming out of Friday's game, I feel better about the Lions' backup quarterback situation. I don't feel better about Hendon Hooker, but I feel better about the Lions' backup quarterback situation. And it should never be lost. The Lions are in the business of trying to win a Super Bowl, not trying to justify the Hendon Hooker draft pick, not in the trying to make sure Hendon Hooker has a job, not in the trying to build up his stock so he can be traded. If he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. Kyle Allen looked pretty good. Not great, but pretty good.
Well, that's the other side of it, right, is that Allen steps right in, leads him to a couple of touchdown drives, and looks really good doing it. You know, he threw his passes on time, took a deep shot. It paid off despite the referee's interference on the play, which was one of the strangest things I've
seen. I've never seen that before.
I mean, the referee literally ran right in front of the route.
It was weird.
I can't explain that, but... He made the passes. And if you've given up on Hooker, fair enough. I understand it. I understand why people would. And because people don't want to wait. People want the instant gratification, good or bad. They want to make decisions right away. They don't want to let things play out. And, you know, you go back a week ago. How awful was Kyle Allen a week ago?
No, he wasn't good.
He was awful.
In the Hall of Fame game he's talking about.
Yeah, he was awful. And Hendon Hooker... What he did bad in this pass game was didn't take care of the football in terms of hanging on to it. He didn't make bad passes.
He didn't do much because there wasn't much downfield throwing. And you listen to the play-by-play, I assume, because we don't have the all-22. It sounded to me like there were some receivers missed. Not in terms of throw. He just didn't see them.
Yeah, and... there was one the play where his first fumble was another play where he had to take off and kind of run a little bit, and TJ Lang was doing the color commentary on TV, and he made a comment like if he had just waited if he had stayed there he could see that so and so was coming open, and looking back at the replay I thought it's a little unfair because he has to make up his mind what's he going to do, and he starts to take off, and you know, if he had thrown the ball, he'd have to throw it across his body, which you never want to do. But if you wait for that split second where the receiver then starts turning back and running with him, again, he's got to make up his mind, am I going to take off and try to pick up positive yards, or, you know, do I risk getting hit and throwing something here? But nonetheless, he didn't take care of the football. Just when he started moving the ball down the field, you're feeling good about it. Okay, here we go. He takes a hit from the play side. And, you know, getting hit from behind on the backside, blindside hit, that's one thing. But this wasn't. I mean, the rush was coming right at him, and he's got to react quicker. And when I say react quicker, meaning he's got to protect that football better because he can see the hit coming. So the damning thing out of that game to me for him was that Dan Campbell said, that's enough, let's change quarterbacks. And that, I think, as much as anything else, has people talking today like, oh, decisions made on who the backup is. And yet – I don't know if the decision's been made or not, and I'm totally cool if it is. If they've already made that choice, fine. I trust Dan Campbell. I trust Brad Holmes. They'll get it right, and that's fine, right for this situation. But do I think it's possible that this is an ongoing saga, who the backup is going to be? Yes, I still think it's an ongoing saga. I think there's no question coming out of that game, Kyle Allen played better. There's no question.
Yeah, this is no debate.
Both quarterbacks were, I thought, look, Hendon Hooker didn't do much in the first game, but you know the interception he had was a ball that was stripped out of the receiver's hands. So did he outplay Kyle Allen in the first game? Yes. Did Kyle Allen outplay Hendon Hooker in this one? Unquestionably. So what happens in the game on this week when they take on the Dolphins?
And the joint practices.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and the joint practices to an extent, sure. Though I imagine that there's going to be a lot of Jared Goff in the joint practices, maybe not so much of the others.
So what's interesting is I don't look at this as a Hooker or Kyle Allen discussion. I think we're getting to the point where it feels to me like it's more of a Hendon Hooker or, I don't know, Michael Neese discussion. I'm talking about somebody who's a fringe roster player. Like the question of whether or not Hendon Hooker is going to get to stick around is who is number 52 or 53 battling for the final roster spot? Because I have no problem with them saying, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. We're gonna waive Hendon Hooker and try and put him on the practice squad. Because if there is a player, like I want them to keep Zach Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Cunningham.
Linebacker.
The linebacker from Vanderbilt. Now, part of that goes back to pre-draft bias. Loved him out of Vandy. That was 9 years ago. Can you believe that was 9 years ago?
A long time ago. We both liked him a lot.
Yep. Zach Cunningham is a guy that might be battling for a job, right? Then I might find myself saying, I'm not going to stick around and wait for Hendon Hooker anymore. As much as I would like to give him every opportunity to develop here, the roster spot might not be there. So you find yourself in these situations. And I think there is a chance that Hendon Hooker could still be a quality backup in this league. But you can't be in the business of keeping Hendon Hooker employed.
No, the chance dwindles every minute. It feels like that we're getting further and further away from it. And I don't know if it's who's the 52, who's the 53 man on the roster as much as it's who can become available from other teams that
could
they want to say we want to go grab and be our backup over Kyle Allen and Hendon Hooker. You know, it's interesting because the quarterbacks that we have, whether it's you or me or Kang, that we've all kind of really liked out of college, all those guys have played better than Hendon Hooker has.
So you're talking about Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Malik Willis.
Yes. All three of those guys have played better.
I do want to state for the record, because then people will point it out, Hendon Hooker is on your resume.
Of course he is.
Yes.
100% he is.
Yes.
The other thing those guys have had are opportunities.
And by the way, it's okay. I'm not busting your balls.
I don't take it that way.
I know that people.
I don't take it that way at all.
No.
The other thing is,
he's not going to defend it to the end, people.
No. Absolutely not.
I'm Malik Willis.
I'm completely objective about this situation. Trust me. As much as I like the guy and I'm rooting for the guy, I root for the team more so. I want this team to be successful, and if that means that he's not part of this roster, so be it. But those other three guys that we all really liked, they've also had opportunities to start NFL games. And Hendon Hooker has not, which might be, again, more of that damning evidence to this point. But you know, he's basically in his second training camp, and there's no separation from him to Kyle Allen. There might be a little separation from Kyle Allen
and Hendon
Hooker.
The other way, yeah. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, let's get them in. It is Carson Anderson. Jared Goff joins us later this hour here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, have you got some issues with the garage door? Like maybe it's making some really strange noises, or it's just not performing the way you want it to, right? Like it's sluggish. It's going slow. And when it makes those noises, you don't want that either. Here's what you do. Call the great folks over at Precision Garage Door Service, and they will take care of the problem. They'll diagnose it, and then they will fix it right there in the spot because they have expert technicians in the field, all the equipment they need in the trucks. They're amazing. Give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can visit them on their website at precisiondoormi.com and schedule an appointment at a time that works for you. Precision is willing to work with you. Again, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or schedule that appointment online.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At precisiondoormi.com.
Welcome in Jared Goff, who's just wrapped up practice. What's
Hello.
Up? How are you?
1 second.
All right. He's getting a drink of water straight off the practice field.
Sorry, I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're good. You prefer the squirt bottle or the actual bottle?
You know, I do prefer the squirt bottle. I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a little bit easier accessible during practice, but I guess right now the bottle's fine.
I'm afraid of the squirt bottles. There was an incident in high school, back when I played high school football, Jared. There was an incident where I saw somebody mixing up the, I think it was called Quick Kick at the time. It was kind of like a Gatorade product. And it was the coach's son who was mixing it up, and he used his whole arm.
Oh, yeah, no, that's no good. We've got protocols in place for that now. They're not allowed to do that anymore.
Thank God for COVID.
Yeah, right. Holy smokes.
Congratulations, new father.
Yeah,
how
thank
is
you
it?
Guys. Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. Mama's been doing the heavy lifting, but... I've been there for a lot of the fun parts and enjoying being her dad, and she's doing a great job, and I wish I could be home more often right now, but duty calls a little bit, but she's doing a hell of a job.
What has been the biggest change in your life that old Jared Goff could do or used to do and now just can't?
Since having a daughter?
Yeah.
Things that I could do. Shoot. I mean, we're home a lot right now, so going to dinner is something that seems like such a challenge right now, whereas before it was something we could do easily. You know, I mean, I'm a new father, but you guys who have kids know that, like, the whole world kind of revolves around them now.
Yep.
To some extent of what their schedule is and when they're going to sleep, when they're going to eat. So, yeah, my whole schedule's changed a bit.
So you got a while before the kid gets mobile, but have you started to childproof the house already? And
yeah, there's some things on doorknobs and, some sharp objects that we kind of put up higher. But yeah, she's not mobile by any means, and she's doing great, though.
Your dog Quincy became sort of a personality, yeah. And then the TV show Quarterback helped with that.
Yeah.
How's Quincy reacted to?
Quincy's been good. Quincy's a little bit indifferent on baby girl. He could take it or leave it, but he's been awesome. He's protective and loves laying there when she's sleeping.
That's pretty great. It's awesome, and I'm sure your teammates are proud that you did this before the season began, before training camp took place.
Yeah, there was a lot of planning going on there to get that ahead of the season to help us, you know, enter the training camp a little more smoothly.
All right, how's training camp going?
It's good. It's been good. It's been fun. It's been warmer days out here, which I think will be good for us in the long run, and easy for me to say it at quarterback, and I don't have to be running around as much. These guys probably wish it was 60 degrees every day, and I understand that, but I think it's been good for us. I think it's been really fun to be out here and go through a little bit of a grind in the heat, and certainly having good days, having not so good days. So there's some challenges. We're overcoming some stuff, as training camp should be, and it's been fun.
Jared, I know you want to get better in every facet of your game, but is there something specific that you want to be better about this version of Jared Goff than a year ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the latter half of my career, it's always kind of been like being better at getting to 3 and 4, and it's continuing to be that way. You know, 1 and 2 in a progression, you'd like to think a good offense, you're getting that guy 1 or 2 open 60-70% of the time. But being able in that 30-40% of the time to accurately and quickly get to 3 and 4 and to know when to get there and to know, you know, where the ball needs to be and all that stuff I'm always working on. And It's a challenge, man. Not many guys are able to get all the way through it, and I try to take pride in doing that and keeping plays alive for offense.
There's always going to be challenges and changes year to year, but this year, a couple of big ones. You got a different coordinator who you've worked with before, but it's a different coordinator, different guy calling plays, and also no Frank Ragnow.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through what happened? Did you have a discussion with Frank? Did he let you know, or did Dan Campbell let
course.
You know?
Of course, I talked to Frank, and I'm happy he made the decisions that's best for him. I think he was really battling with it, and I'm not going to put any words in his mouth, but I'm very happy that he's happy now and in a good place, and I'm pretty sure he feels good about the decision. And we talk, you know, here and there, you know, every week or so, and he's doing well.
What do you say to the fans that are like, oh, no, no Ben Johnson. Oh, no, no Frank Ragnow.
Who's saying that?
Fans.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess I don't have anything to say to them. We'll have to find out. You know, we've got good players to fill in. We've got a good coach to fill in. Those guys, obviously Ben's a hell of a coach. Frank's a hell of a player. But that's why we have, you know, training camp and all this time to get better and get ready. And certainly still have a lot of really good players on this team and everyone that's been improving from last year.
What do you like most about John Martin, the new OC?
What do I like most about him? Great question. I think I love that. He's very flexible and willing to listen, and by no means is that a slight on Ben. Ben was very similar in that way too, but I think that's one of his strengths right now. As a guy who's, you know, he did it with the Jets, but he's doing it again for the first time in a long time. He's very willing to listen to not only me, but St. Brown and Laporta and JMO and like Gibbs, Montgomery. Like, what do we like to do? What do we love doing up front? He's very much about getting input and applying it.
Have you had to take a little bit of a step back and let me see and engage how he's going to run things before you automatically volunteer your input?
Sure. Yeah, I think that was in OTAs, though. I think I feel we have a really good relationship at this point where I feel very comfortable saying what I think, and so does he to me. We're not trying to make each other feel good, and not that we're like arguing about anything, but it's like very direct and very how he wants it and very how I want it. And if we agree, great. If we disagree, we'll have a conversation, and that's the way it's supposed to go. There's nothing confrontational about it. It's just the way it's supposed to be.
Can you evaluate the two guys battling to be your backup, what you've seen from Hendon Hooker out here in practice and Kyle Allen? Because we don't see him every day. You do.
Yeah, I think they're both doing a great job. They're both improving every day and running the offense well, and it's been fun to see Hendon, I think, for 3 years continue to get better and better, and starting to come into his own a little bit as a player. And then Kyle's new to me as a teammate, but he's gotten better since OTAs and doing a great job.
Speaking of guys and playing with guys for years now, it's one of the things that I think Doug and I both admire what Brad Holmes has done, kind of rebuilt this team, and you guys are all growing together. You know, like the fourth year for a lot of you guys. Do they still surprise you? Does Amon-Ra St. Brown still surprise you? Is Sam Laporta come up with something like, I haven't seen you do that, or Jamison Williams?
I mean, surprise is, I guess, the wrong word. I think I'm just, you know, so impressed by some of these guys. St. Brown made a catch the other day. He was running a fade, and I threw it back shoulder, and he caught it like this. And I don't know if I've ever seen it. It's kind of hard for you guys to picture that. But, yeah, and then JMO, and you saw JMO today make the long touchdown catch. No, it's not surprising. I think it's fun to watch and fun to see. These guys are all pro caliber players. They're some of the best players in the league. And, you know, I try to do my best to maximize them, and they try to do the same for me.
Not to shortchange anybody, but a player that has caught the fans' eye that they seem to love in the early going is the rookie Isaac Tesla.
Yeah, Michigan native.
How good is he?
He's great. He's been doing a good job. He's been getting better, too. And I think I saw it early last week, kind of a little bit of a flip switch for him where he realized, like, the speed of the game and kind of started to catch up to how fast everything moves and how physical he needs to be, and feeling more confident and comfortable. I can tell he is feeling, and that's always great for me, and I'm just trying to help him as best I can. And, again, just trying to do my best to push him along and maximize him. And again, he's a guy who wants to be pushed. He wants to be taught. And when you get players like that, like Brad continues to kind of bring in, it makes it really easy for me.
Another rookie on your side of the ball, Tate Ratledge, steps in. Looks like he's going to be the starting right guard. You got Glasgow at center. You've worked with Glasgow before at center, but talk about those two in the interior, and also with Mahogany in the interior. Yeah. It's a, kind of a whole new group there.
Yeah, it is, and I think that's, you know, what training camp is so great for is the gelling of those guys. It's kind of a non-tangible thing that they are able to feel each other's pass-offs and pass protection. They're able to feel each other's, you know, B blocks, deuce blocks up to the linebacker. And I think that takes a little bit of time to get used to when it's different in there, but they're getting better at it every day. And Tate as a rookie has been so impressive to me, his maturity and his ability to handle information. And Mahogany, even, you know, him, I know he's not a rookie, but he didn't play as much last year, and he's going through some of those things too and doing a great job handling it. And like I said, as they continue to gel, things will only get better.
You can provide perspective that nobody else can. Can you tangibly tell that the defense is better, or is that impossible?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you see?
They're much more confident and comfortable. I think mostly just because they're a year older, and all their dudes are back, and it's fun. It's fun to practice against. It is. It's a challenge. They make it really hard. Coach Shep's making it really hard on me. Those two guys in the back end with Kirby and Branch, I can't imagine a better two to practice against every day. DJ Reed's been a tremendous addition for us from leadership and pure ability. Obviously, the linebackers have done great, and then Hutch has been pretty unbelievable up to this point.
We've heard about the Hutch rules, that he's been disruptive enough where even if he gets back, they let the play continue because it just would. How frustrating is that?
Yeah, it's like Aaron Donald back in the day. It's the same way. He's a guy who can ruin a game. He's certainly ruined practice for us a couple times offensively, and I'm so happy he's on our side and I don't have to play against him.
Gator, we got to let him go, but you usually have some non-sports Jared Goff life questions. So
sure.
Do you have anything for him?
The TV show Quarterback.
Yeah.
So we all got a chance to watch it. We enjoy it very much. Doug's very much enamored with the fire pit of Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins has sweet backyard.
He does have a nice yard, huh?
So, I mean, first of all, I'll save Doug the question here. How is your backyard game and your fire pit?
Ooh, good question.
And also,
we have a fire pit.
Excellent.
Don't use it very often, but we have one.
Is there something that happened during that show that your teammates or fans have come up to you and mentioned more often than not?
Oh, great question. I think the stumble bum got a lot of attention. Being able to see like the makings of that was, I thought, really cool, and I got a lot of people talking to me about that. To be honest, Quincy is like very much people
sure.
asking me about him all the time. He's become a little bit of a star in his own. Yeah, I think those would probably be the two. And then I think people were – I loved being able to pull the curtain back a little bit and show people what it's like. And I think all three of us did a great job of kind of letting them into our lives to some extent. And I thought it was fun. You know, I thought it was really cool to show people. I get a lot of feedback, honestly, from, like, the UK. Like, you know, it's similar to when we saw F1 on Netflix.
Right.
Right.
And got able to see that world. I think they don't get to see behind the curtain as much, you know, over there. And a lot of people that I know over there are loving it.
How's the fishing?
Right now, not great. A little hot. Yeah.
Do you have an F1 driver?
No, I don't. I don't really follow it that
well.
I guess I'll say Hamilton because I'm a casual fan. But
yeah.
No, I wish I watched it more.
Well, we did love Quarterback and, of course, watching you play.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Good to see you again and continued success.
Good to see you. I'll see there you 18 times this week over the phone.
Good.
That's great.
I love it.
All right. Stay healthy.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, congratulations
again.
All right,
thanks, guys.
New dad.
Yes, sir.
Jared Goff. It is Carson Anderson from Lions Training Camp here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Good to know he's got a fire pit for your sake.
I know, right? So just so people know, last year Gator got Jared Goff, on behalf of our show, a dog toy. It was a gator.
A stuffed gator, yeah.
Yeah. And he came up and said that gator has survived and it is still Quincy's favorite toy.
That means more to me than anything else.
You know what meant most to me is the answer, oh, hell yeah. When I asked him, is the defense, from your perspective, yeah, tangibly better? Oh, hell yeah.
You know, this is something that I'm glad he said that as well, because this is something during the course of the season that I do want to pick his brain on more of. Because when he talks about the safeties in particular, having, and this goes into the discussion, we keep talking about, you know, and fans bring it up, we bring it up all the time, about getting that second edge rusher that could be elite or whatever.
Yep.
They have two of the top 10 safeties in football.
Yeah.
By a lot of metrics, by a lot of whatever it's Pro Football Focus or whatever, people that do the rankings and stuff like that, Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch are two of the top-rated safeties in all of football, and they're on the same team.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, watching this forward on the season, would you rather have two top-rated safeties or have two top-rated edge rushers? I think you can go either way, but, I mean, this is what the Lions have, and it looks pretty great. It well, can look great. I mean, that's his opinion coming into it. I'm putting words in his mouth, but he's very excited.
Your interpretation
about,
of what he had
yes.
to say.
Yeah.
I like hearing that DJ Reed has been felt
yep.
By the offense out here at practice. And obviously Hutch has too. He called him a game wrecker. He's ruined some practices for him. So, God, I just hope they stay healthy in 2025-26. Yeah. I'll be even the one that knocks on wood.
Yeah,
so
and you were. Nice.
I was. But, yeah, he's confident. He's excited. It's interesting to hear what he said he had to get better at, getting to read 3 and 4, because I think that's one of his great strengths. I think he's better than most. Maybe it's just because we saw so many quarterbacks in Detroit that couldn't do it for so long.
You know what that tells me? That just – you've got a wealth of riches and options to go to. And for a lot of teams, going to your third or fourth option, it's not appealing. For the Lions, if you're going to your third or fourth option, that might be Sam Laporta. It might be Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yep.
You know, Laporta's going to make a play down the field, and Gibbs, if it's, you know, dumping it off, he makes a guy miss and he goes 40 yards. You know, so the Lions' third and fourth options in a lot of places are going to be outstanding options to have in this offense. This is why we like this offense, because you have so many different ways that you can attack a defense. You want to run it on them? Great. You want to use the running back out of the backfield? Great. You want to line Jahmyr Gibbs up as a receiver? You can do that? Great. Oh, by the way, you've got one of the more productive tight ends in football over the last 2 years. And now you've got a dynamic duo of wide receiver with St. Brown and J-Mo, where great things are expected of both of them. And not to mention that you still have other guys like Khalif Raymond, who is so damn exciting once he's got the ball in his hand because of his return capabilities and using him in the offense. And Isaac Tesla, who has shown himself to be quite a player in a short amount of time here. It's preseason, we get that. But it's, you know, he has to make the plays. So when you're running a fade route in the corner or a corner route in the end zone and he comes up with the pass and there's no question he's got it, it looks great. He passes the eyeball test, and it's another weapon to introduce into this offense.
Okay, I'm going to introduce something to the show, a call to action right now. I'm going to apologize to you and to the audience. I have an appointment that I cannot reschedule. I have to get to it, and I got to take off. Here's my call to action to the audience. What was the best thing, the thing that caught your attention most, what Jared Goff had to say when he joined us here live? 248-539-9797. We want to know what resonated with you that made you think or made you say good to hear or made you say that concerns me. What mattered most and what Jared Goff had to say? Help Gator the rest of the way. Sorry, buddy. I really wish
Sorry,
I had
this,
but I got to. And I'll be back tomorrow. But help Gator carry the end of the show. What was the most important thing? We usually do this with the morning show interviews. What's the most important thing they said? What do you think was the most important thing Jared Goff had to say? 248-539-9797. Hey, it's Doug Karsh for Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. And they're coming in hot with summer savings. Right now, lease the new 2026 model year Equinox LT for just $359 a month for 36 months with zero money down. $359. Go now to 17.5 in Van Dyke in Sterling Heights, 87-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. With GM Employee Discount Finance through Ally Financial, 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees with approved credit. Offer ends September 2nd.
So you heard us talk with the Lions quarterback, Jared Goff. Thanks to him for coming by and talking with us here on the Karsh and Anderson program. And he had a lot to say, a lot about the defense and a lot about the offense. New faces new coaches coming in and working with him, and new faces on that offensive line and how that's going to work. And also spoke glowingly about how well the defense has played to this point and really kind of putting it on the safeties and saying, you know, you look back there and you see the quality of the safeties the Lions have with Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph, and you've got to recognize that that's difficult. I can only imagine that for offensive coordinators getting ready to take on the Lions, that they've got a lot to have on their plate to take care of. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson's going to be probably item number one on your list of have to block him. But the other one that's not so sneaky anymore, because these guys have done it now for a couple of years, are those safeties. They are good. They're very good. Dare I say great in their own way. And, you know, it's not just one safety. It's both of them, which really can make life difficult for the coordinators. So when you look at it, you know, what was the most important thing that you thought that Jared Goff had to say, his opinion? Which one do you value the most? 248-539-9797. I mean, he did say a lot there. But, Kang, I guess I'll ask you that question. What did you take away from the Goff interview? What do you think mattered most to you of what he had to say?
Honestly, Gator, what mattered most to me was when he was talking about the newborn and that the wife had to do the heavy lifting and he had to go to work. Because I remember those days very well. My two daughters are very young, as you know. And so when he said that, I was like, that resonates with me a lot right now. Because actually, when I did have to, you know, when paternity leave was over and I had to go back to work, you did feel guilty for sure.
So, 100%.
And he
said
to you guys, hey, duty calls. You know, he has to do what he's got to do. He's got to go, you know, go practice, hit camp, all that stuff. And I'm sure he wants to be home just to see the baby and help a little bit. But what can you do, right? But I didn't get to tell my wife, listen, I got to go play football or anything like that. I just got to go to work. But football-wise, on the field, seriously, the thing that resonated with me the most during that interview was when he brought up, I think you brought up Hutchinson, the Hutchinson rule for practice.
Yeah.
And he basically interrupted you and said, oh, he's like Aaron Donald. You know, and oh, my God. To mention even in the same breath of how disruptive Hutch is being in practice to Aaron Donald, who's a Hall of Famer and probably the greatest defensive tackle to play the game.
Right.
That's huge. And especially for a lot of the fans, and you know this as well as I do, before practice even started, before this summer, people were wondering, is Hutch going to be the same player? How's he going to be after that injury? Well, he never started on any PUP list or any injured list. He started right out the gates, and he seems like he's, if not just as good, if not better than what he was before the injury.
Yeah, that's kind of scary because that's the opinion that's been resonating out of training camp now for a few weeks. It's that Hutch looks like he hasn't missed a beat at all, and that he's as disruptive as he's ever been. And I agree with you. Anytime you hear a comparison made to, you know, a Hall of Fame player like Aaron Donald will be, it's you have to take attention to that because this guy played with Aaron Donald, faced him every day in practice, so he knows. It's not just throwing a name out there. It comes from experience. And what made Aaron Donald so great was that he got all that pressure from basically the interior of the offensive line. He attacked it from inside. But he was also able to slide outside occasionally, and whether he was stunting or whatever, and he could come at you from all angles. That's kind of what we've seen the Lions, how they use Aiden Hutchinson. He's not just lined up, you know, on the right defensive end position or left side of the quarterback, if you will. He's all over the place, whether it's left side or right side or even in the middle. He lines up where he's going to line up, and that's one of the things the Lions have done a great job of. They did it with Aaron Glenn, and now hopefully they're going to do the same thing with Kelvin Shepard, is to maximize the matchup that you can have. The offensive line is going to stay where they're going to stay. You're not going to see, you know, a tackle go in motion just so that he can line up across from the edge rusher. The edge rusher is going to go wherever he wants and perhaps even in the middle of that defense. So I'm excited about what Hutch can be for this team because he is a headache. And I don't know if it was, you know, certainly audible. You could hear his tone kind of change. And I don't know if the folks could see it on Twitch or YouTube. But when, you know, when we mentioned it, his eyes just kind of like roll back and said, like, oh, God, yeah, like he's incredible. He's just the superlatives are just going to come flying out.
Well, what about the kid thing, Gator?
The kid thing. No, because I had questions. I literally had three questions about kids on there, and I asked about, you know, child-proofing the house. And you can speak to this because I can't. But I can only imagine that, you know, when I can hear him say that, you know, he can't wait to get home and he's going to miss all these opportunities, it's because so much happens in the first couple of years. Like, you don't want to miss the first anything, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, the first couple of months, anything. You're right. And just, you know, you mentioned, too, also baby-proofing the house. Like,
yeah,
I got so used to living with it that when we decided to finally take down, like, we had a bunch of, like, gates protecting our home entertainment area, you know, where the kids couldn't get to it and couldn't get to all the, you know, the wires, whatever, that we were beyond that, but it was still up. And I'm like, my wife said one day, we should probably take that down. I'm like, I just been living with it so long, I got used to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we still have like locks on our cabinets around the kitchen, you know, so they can't get into certain things like underneath the sink or whatever. So I don't know if Jared's done that or his wife's done that with their house, but, that's funny that you had that on your question list.
Yeah, because I don't know, but I know that kids aren't crawling in 2 months, I don't think, are they?
No.
I think it's several months kid, after
he,
that.
He's actually, Jared Goff is still more mobile than his baby right now. That may change.
Sneaky funny right there. For right now. We'll see. Is that a knock on Goff's mobility?
Yeah. A little bit. It's kind of a dad joke. He's a dad now.
Exactly. Yeah, I think you could appreciate that. Probably more so if he actually saw you in person rather than just hearing it, you know, through the grapevine. But nonetheless, yeah, it was cool to have him come by and talk with us. And I think he's very excited about what's to come. I thought that when, you know, Doug had said, you know, fans are concerned about the having a change. And he's like, what? Who was that? Who's saying that? Which is his low key way of saying, almost like, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. You know, we know what we're doing here, and it's things really haven't changed a whole lot since Ben Johnson left, and Johnny Moe has taken over as the offensive coordinator. They come from the same cloth, so to speak, in a way. So it's, I'm excited to see it. I think, you know, just getting a little glimpse of guys at practice today. I think we're going to, if it's just left to the intermediate passing game, Goff is so dialed in right now. I mean, he was hitting every receiver in the intermediate routes. It was fun to watch. His accuracy is off the charts, and hopefully he can stay upright and stay healthy the whole season so we don't have to worry about the other part of the conversation, which has kind of dominated sports talk radio over the weekend and here in Detroit, and certainly on the morning show. They got to it as well, which is the backup quarterback situation. And, yes, the game Friday night, you know, take away the tragedy that was hopefully avoided in that game that stopped the game early. But looking at it from just a football standpoint, and you saw Hendon Hooker come in the game, start the game, excuse me, and then leave the game. After turning the ball over a second time. He fumbled it a second time. And Kyle Allen came in and led the team to a couple of touchdown drives and looked awfully good doing it. And it leads to the discussion of the backup quarterback, where I know a lot of people are very familiar that I am a Hendon Hooker fan. And we're curious, well, how are you going to defend this guy now? And it's like, I don't know if I was ever really defending him as much as I really respect the talent that he's got. But one of the tough things about playing quarterback in this league, it's not just about how well you throw a football, which I think he does very well. It's not just about, you know, how well you can run in an open field, which he does very well. The most important aspect of playing that position is what happens between the ears. And it's not necessarily an intelligence thing, and I'm not knocking that on Hendon Hooker. It's about the ability to process things quickly. And I think that is what separated Tom Brady from damn near every other quarterback out there, is that he was able to get to the line of scrimmage, know exactly what he was going to do and how he was going to do it, and do it on time and accurately. And that, to me, is probably the toughest part of being an NFL quarterback, is to be able to process all that stuff as quickly as you can and do it as accurately as you can. and do it before you're on your back. And I think that's been the toughest thing to get for Hendon Hooker. And it worked out much better for Kyle Allen. He took the shot downfield. He hit that shot downfield. He had a chance to throw it in the corner of the end zone on a to Tesla on that route, and he was able to complete that pass, and it looked great. And for a lot of people, they want to end the discussion right now that there is no backup quarterback competition. And there may not be. There may not be. Maybe it was just as simple as, you know, look, dude, Dan Campbell pulled Hendon Hooker out of the game, played Kyle Allen the rest of the way, albeit it was only for, you know, maybe a quarter and a half. But that happened. So that's telling you all you need to know. And maybe it is telling me all we need to know. But I think if you go back a week ago with that first preseason game they played, I think you could say that Kyle Allen didn't look great in that one. Neither did Hendon Hooker, but, you know, Allen threw a couple of horrific interceptions in that game. Hooker threw an interception on a ball that was taken away from his wide receiver. You fast forward a week, and it looks like Kyle Allen is light years ahead of Hendon Hooker. I'll admit that. It looked that way. But is the competition done? I don't think it is, but it might be. It might simply be because of what you saw when Dan Campbell said, we're going to take him out, we're going to put him in. We'll see how they address that later this week. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text if you'd like to do that. Out here at Allen Park, the Lions training camp headquarters, the Lions have just gotten done practicing. It looks like that they didn't have any injury issues. I'm knocking on wood here because they did lose three players over the weekend to season-ending injuries, which is unfortunate for the Lions. But moving forward, they were not starting players, but there were guys that I think were counted on for depth, and now they have to look elsewhere. We'll talk about the Lions. We'll talk about the Tigers with you as well if you'd like to comment on what's going on over at Comerica Park as we continue here from Lions training camp on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.